Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, everybody. Tommy Kester with you. It is a Wednesday. It is coming off of game night for both Wichita State and K-State. It is coming into, it is certainly the biggest college basketball game of the year as it pertains to us around here, KU, Iowa State tonight. We're going to have a ton on that. We'll have our KU insiders, a lot of joining to help us look ahead to that one, a collision of styles, all of these things happening with that game. We can't wait for it. And we're excited for it. We'll go back through the two games last night. The Shockers bounce back in the win column. Very good to see there. K-State thought they were going to have it, and they come up short late. Just couldn't get it done. We'll dig into both of those. We'll continue to look ahead to the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. What do they need to do to get a win in the divisional round and take you around the NFL and all of the other crazy things happening away from the field as coaching searches happen and, of course, the other divisional games. Glad to be here with you today. Jacob Albrecht here alongside Tommy Kester. Tommy, how are you?
Hey, we're ready to rock and roll today. Obviously, as you mentioned, a lot of college basketball last night. Good to see the Shockers finally bounce back and get a conference win. So looking forward to jumping right in.
We got lots of ways you can get in touch with the program. Give us your thoughts on what you saw last night, your predictions on what you'll see tonight as it pertains to college basketball. You can do that by calling the KFH hotline, 869-1240, by leaving us video comments on our streams, which you'll find on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Those are all available for you. You can also leave us voicemails if you're listening to us through the Odyssey app. You just click the little microphone. Very easy to get in touch with the program. Of course, you can always tweet at Tommy and I directly, and we can get to those as well. So we'll start with the good last night. Wichita State bounces back. Win against Charlotte, 68-59. The bad, K-State falls at home again, 61-57 in a game you thought they had a chance at. They didn't score in the last 5:30 of the game. To be fair, neither team really did, and then Tech finally hit a bucket late. It was a really, really strange sequence there, but they can't get it done. But they bounced back and played much better. There's no doubt about that. But Tommy, it was... I think it was a satisfying night of college basketball. I really wish K-State would have got that win. That would have been a very, very nice win. But at the least, they played much better, at least defensively and effort-wise, than they had been lately.
You know, I do think it was concerning, though, you know, that the fact that they weren't able to score in the final 5 minutes, because they had, at various points in that game, control There was a point in the first half when the Wildcats, I think, were down by 7 or 8 points, and then all of a sudden they went off on an 11-0 run, and then they were able to retake the lead against Tech and maintain that a couple of different times throughout the course of the second half. And to your point, you mentioned it just a moment ago, you felt like they had a lot of chances to win the game and, you know, to maybe even put it away relatively early. They weren't able to do that. Texas Tech held them scoreless for the final five. And that's the next hump, I think, for the Wildcats to get over. They've got to learn how to close out games, especially at home, when you've got a lead in conference play.
Well, and it's the hump that's haunted them now for 2 years, is the lack of offensive creativity that's gotten into it. That's made it hard on them, really, since they were able to play. And this has been the knock on K-State for the last couple of years. When they had Keontae Johnson and Marquise Noel, it was easy to play like iso ball, right? Yeah. Like they let those guys just sit at the top and sort of create. They weren't able to utilize that last year. They haven't been able to utilize that this year, and they continue to struggle in that area. What you like, though, is the defensive effort, just the effort in general, because that was sort of the question, right, for K-State, especially when you watch a game like Houston. Where has the effort been, right? What kind of issues are they dealing with that's not just X's and O's basketball? Well, last night it was, you know, it was probably more just about X's and O's basketball, and the effort was there. That's what you want to see, because what we're trying to, like, refocus for K-State. Like, what's the reality? The reality is they're a conference tournament win from the NCAA tournament. So what chance in the world do they have that in a league like the Big 12? They're going to have to play much better. And we need to see them be able to, you know, to take down top teams at various points throughout the season. They may not be as good as we thought they were, but they still ought to be able to do that. So it was good to see it. I sent you this last night. This is interesting. And I know there's a lot of fans out there that feel this way. Matt Norlander, who is a college basketball writer, he writes for college basketball. He's pretty connected into this stuff. He brought up something that really rung through, and K-State's a small part of this, but it, you know, Indiana and Arkansas catching a lot of heat right now too, because they brought in big NIL classes. But Norlander names those three schools, K-State, Indiana, Arkansas, three of the most expensive rosters built last spring in the portal. That's his words. All lose. They're collectively 5-11 in league play. This is the detractors. This is where they go, Tommy. And look, I've had a lot of conversations about how this stuff fits together and how distracting could NIL be and what happens when some players earn more than others. And maybe I naively said, well, in the pros, they earn different amounts and do all these things too. I don't know how much of an effect that has. There are programs all over the country that have the same dynamic. I think, you know, those three were all splashy this offseason. But I think that comes with the territory. And probably we need a little bit more leeway when we're talking about program building for everybody, coaches, administrators, players, to learn how to exist there. I don't know if it's going to be that way forever, but it's that way now, and it's a part of it. Like, unless you're Bill Self, there aren't very many programs that are able to retain players for a long time anymore. And the players that don't and must rebuild, it's going to be a big part of the job now, is how do you put that stuff to the side, away from the court, and get the best out of these players like you would if it was 10 years ago.
I've been relatively critical of Jerome Tang over the last couple of months with the way that this assembled NIL roster has performed. But actually, in comparison to Arkansas and Indiana, I give him a little bit of slack, because he's not John Calipari and he's not Mike Woodson. And, you know, Mike Woodson came into Indiana to revitalize that program, former alum, NBA coach, all of that, bringing in a ton of experience, you know, to be able to do that. And, you know, Woodson has had to embrace the NIL world like everybody else. Calipari comes from, you know, walking away from the Kentucky Wildcats to go to Arkansas with all of his credentials of NBA development and all of that. You would think that almost every top player in the country that can, number one, get paid, and number two, potentially go to the NBA, is going to be knocking down the door to play for Calipari.
Well, they did. I mean, and, they got a bunch of them. Right?
But getting them to win games at Arkansas. So I actually, out of those three programs, I do give Jerome Tang and the Wildcats more slack, I think, than the other two, just because he doesn't have the longevity in the world of basketball like Mike Woodson does. He doesn't have, you know, the overall player development NBA skill reputation that John Calipari does. It's kind of apples and oranges. And so for, I understand Matt Norlander putting K-State in that mix of those three schools just because of the amount of money that was spent on NIL for the Wildcats. But I do think it's a little apples to oranges with the other two compared to Kansas State.
I don't know, man. We had Jerome Tang, you know, rumored for that exact same job. I think there's a lot of things that happen when we have, when we try to evaluate the state of K-State's program. And a part of it is the expectation was set so high initially, internally, partly, right? Like externally through the what they achieved that year, but internally through the things that were being said at the time and the things that were said to the fan base. And they did spend a lot of money. Now, I don't know. This is, we go all the way back to when the Coleman Hawkins signing happened. And I'm not here to pick on Coleman Hawkins because Coleman Hawkins is basically doing exactly what he's done his entire college career. Is that a misallocation of funds? Is that, you know, like whatever, if you want to think about it from a pro standpoint.
Well, I think it's an overpayment, you know, of
but,
what.
But it's a little bit relative because remember at the time, like, I remember one of the first things I thought when they brought him in and I'm looking at what he's done over his career, I'm like, was this a use it or lose it situation? Did they miss on some others and just had some extra money? So they made sure they got him. I think there's a decent chance that that's true. So, I mean, do we begin to think about college sports in terms of good and bad contracts like we do in the pros?
I think you have to.
I think that's a part of it. But at the same time, we don't sit there and look at a pro team and say, God, they didn't spend all their money in the salary cap. That was a mistake. Whereas in college, if we knew that there were funds available that weren't being used, we would criticize that, you know, the program.
I don't think that's true. I mean, you know, look at you know, a team like the Kansas City Royals, and I know salary cap is not a thing in baseball and all of that. But for years and years, the argument for, you know, against Kansas City was that they didn't spend any money. They were cheap. And then the product on the court, you know, showed that. And what, you know, so I do think that you have to adjust the perspective a little bit now that these players are getting paid and say, okay, you've got to, you know, invest the money wisely and make sure that you're paying the right players the right amount of money. That becomes another focus in it. Rick Barnes did that at Tennessee recently, telling, you know, his guy that he wasn't doing what he was paid to do. Like, it's a brand new world out there.
Well, and that's also why I think a lot of these schools are bringing in general managers.
Yeah.
And that's why you see that. The coaches don't do that in the pro sports for the most part. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Shockers when we return. It's all Brockton Caster. It is a Wednesday. Don't go away. Sports Daily coming right back.
Dude, you got to hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Hey, you want to win some HTO? You can do that right now by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. That gets you a chance to win a free iced tea, a free coffee drink from the HTOs in Wichita or in Derby. It is a great way to try it out if you haven't. If you're a fan, a great way to get a free drink or two. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, just text the keyword T to the short code 20357. Welcome back into Sports Daily. We're talking college hoops. As we should be today. It's a big college hoops day. We have KU getting ready to face off with Iowa State in what is sure to be a fantastic game tonight, at least on paper. We have Shreyas Lotta in next hour to help us get ready for that one. We had two games last night. We talked a little bit about K State there in the first segment. We'll get into the Shockers. Tommy, Rick chimes in. Rick, one of our great listeners who loves to get in touch with us through the video streams, it's a great way to get in touch with the program. Says, these aren't students anymore. Rick Barnes told one of his players it's his job to make shots the other day. None of the guys are going to class. Look, I think it's unfair to say none of the guys are going to class. I don't think that's true at all. Sure, some guys might not be going to class. Some guys have always not gone to class. I don't want to be naive about what college sports has always been, but I also don't want to loop everybody into that because I don't think that's true at all. Like a lot of students are going to class. I think a lot of students are living up the college experience. I just think they got a little money in their pocket or a lot of money in their pocket. And that's the way it should be. The court says so. So the law says so. We're going to have to collectively adjust to this. It won't be the Wild West forever, but it is taking longer than anticipated, I think, to sort out, you know, how this all lands and looks, because they keep losing every court battle, as they should. What's been happening forever is silly. It's nonsense. It just defies like labor law. You can't work for free. That's not what we do in this country. So we'll figure it out. There will be guardrails. There will be regulations. You'll see roster continuity as soon as they can figure out how to come up with agreements with players to keep them in place longer. That will help everybody. But until then, this is what we'll have. But I don't like that being an excuse, Tommy, because everybody has the same thing to deal with, right? Everybody's got it. It's not like one team is able to keep players longer and another is not. Like, every coach across the country is dealing with the same set of circumstances. You either thrive in it or you don't. You have to retain or you have to bring in new players more quickly than you did before. That's just the way things are now.
At different levels. Like, it's not. Sure. It's all relative.
It's always been at different levels.
Compared to what kind of money you have. Right. If you've got other major sports that are competing against you, like if you're a major football school, or not, that's a big part of it. What kind of resources the university has, even what kind of desire players have to go and play for your institution, because like it or not, that's still a part of it as well. Like, you could throw a big old bag of money at somebody, but if you're a program that, you know, if you're a coach that is not respected, if you're a program down at the bottom of the barrel, like, it's going to be hard still. Like, there's still the regular normal recruiting things that are still in place.
Absolutely.
So it's all relative compared to the program that you are overseeing. But what I really actually appreciate about what Rick Barnes did was he said the quiet part out loud. You know, he flat out was like, look, like, you're this guy, you're getting paid to make shots and you're not doing what you're getting paid to do. So you're going to sit on the bench. There's kind of, and this hasn't really been publicized a whole lot, but there's been a whole internal conversation at KU about one of their guys that they brought in, AJ Storr, during the offseason, who's not performing well. They paid him a lot of money. And so there's a lot of conversation about, like, is he living up to the potential that he or the expectations that were put in front of him because of the amount of money that he is garnering to play for the Jayhawks? It's happening, that sort of thing, I'm sure, in some capacity. Yeah, to your point, is happening almost everywhere.
Well, let's not pretend like the big time programs in college athletics are only now dealing with missed expectations from players who are compensated, whether it was under the table or on top of the table. I say this all the time. I went to a very small school and I knew what was going on even there because I'm friends with the players, right? So everything scales up or down, but until now, it was never a part of the conversation, you know, the hidden money that, oh, this guy's getting a bunch of hidden money and they're not like, at some point, you got to put that stuff to the side and it's still basketball or it's still football. Like, you still have to perform, right? We're just more open with how this works now. And it's bigger, right? Of course, it's bigger. Like, the amounts are bigger and all of these things. But that doesn't change the fact that everybody's dealing with it to some degree. So you either thrive in it. I would love if social media went away, but I still got to utilize it and deal with it. It's a part of life now, right? Like, we all do professionally all the time. We don't like changes. How excited are you every time you get an IT training video changed at your office?
Yeah.
It's like the biggest collective sigh in the world when you see one of those. Oh, good. This system that we've been using forever that works just fine, let's change it. That'll be good. Like, nobody likes that.
Yeah.
Right. But we have to deal with it. We don't get to just like sit back and complain about it. Oh, the good old days. We didn't have to, you know, put two-factor authentication in to get into my computer.
Yeah. The good old days, there were like duffel bags full of money that were under the table being handed to players, right? Like, those were the quote unquote good old days. You know me.
Exactly.
You know, I love like throwing out old sayings and quotes and things like that. One that comes to mind is that change is inevitable, but growth is optional. And like these things are going to, everything is going to change in every single sports league that we know of. Like it's different now than it was even just a few years ago. The change is inevitable. It's just a matter of whether or not you can adapt to it. And you know what? The coaches that either can't or don't want to, they're not on the sidelines where they won't be in short order. Like in college basketball, a large reason, I mean, like these guys have been open about it. Guys like Roy Williams and Coach K, I think Jay Wright probably, you know, falls into that category as well. Like they either felt like they couldn't or they didn't want to deal with,
fine.
And that's fine. Like they got out of the way. You know, Nick Saban in college football probably is that way also. Like didn't really want to be in this new landscape. Totally okay. By the way, I love Nick Saban on TV. I think he's fantastic. You know, so that's a win also. But I think that like instead of clutching our pearls, you know, and like not wanting to still have this conversation because of some like traditions or like that's not the way college athletics like this is the way that it is right now. And so let's be upfront and transparent and honest about it. And like in the case of K-State, it's okay to say that Coleman Hawkins, while he may be doing from a performance level what he's done over the course of his career, it's okay to have the conversation. Is he worth the money that K-State has paid him?
Oh, sure.
And that's more of a question on K-State, I think, than it is on Coleman Hawkins.
Right. But the alternative was to have the money in their pocket, not use any of it,
we
and
think,
not have Coleman
We
Hawkins.
Don't know. I mean, we think.
Well, but right. They obviously paid him very late in the cycle. Right. And they set a record, I believe, at the time, according to some reports. So.
But don't you think that, and that goes back to the conversation of like, we're not having these conversations as much in other sports, but I think it's because everything is kind of out in the open. Like in the NFL, you know exactly where your team's salary cap, or where the salary cap is and where you are to, you know, the cap, like the cap space that you have. You contracts are pretty transparent. You kind of know what everybody's getting paid, the terms of all of it, how it all works, how you can try to put, like we speculate on that sort of thing all the time with the Kansas City Chiefs, how they work around the cap. You know, will they use that money? If so, how are they going to restructure things? That's the only difference right now in college athletics is that that stuff is not super out in the open as far as the way that these pay, not that the way that they're being paid, but like how it all is going down, what's left, all of that. That makes it harder to figure out exactly what, you know, which way is up.
I think, and ultimately it's the path to make it easier is for the leagues to come in and have their own sort of salary caps. But in order to do that, you have to navigate all the other stuff and make these contracts and not scholarships necessarily. And that's where this is ultimately headed, I think, because you've got revenue share involved now and all that will get sorted out. It'll just take time and it's confusing and it's complicated and it's in the legal system in the hands of lawyers who get paid to complicate things. So it will be complicated and it will take time. And we'll just have to, this is what we, the reality we live in now. But it is the reality for everyone. It's not like it's just the reality for K-State. It's the reality to everyone. All right. Let's talk about the Shockers here for a second, Tommy. It's so funny, too, because K-State, it's like, oh, did they spend too much money? And then for Wichita State, we're like, oh, did they spend enough money? Like, like at the end of the day, it's all performance-based, right? Like, are you winning or are you not winning? Wichita State does get a win last night over Charlotte, 68-59. Look, they bounced back and they played well. In terms of what has been plaguing them and in terms of what we needed to see from them pretty badly, they played well. They out-rebounded Charlotte. Check. That's been a problem lately. They didn't turn the ball over a ton. Check. That's been a huge problem lately. And they didn't allow Charlotte to come in and shoot a high percentage from three. Check. How much of that is Charlotte, who's not a good three-point shooting team anyway? I don't know, but they've let a lot of not good three-point shooting teams tear them apart lately. All three of those things we needed to see, all three of those things got better. Yes, it's a 9-point home win against Charlotte, and nobody's like beating their chest about that as this major accomplishment, but it is a major accomplishment because we saw them correct the things that they had needed to be corrected through this stretch of games. So I'll take that as a really nice spot for Wichita State. If they can do that consistently, they're going to win a lot of conference games this year. And so I think when we see that, after we had not seen that for about four straight games, that's a really positive sign. The team responded to adversity. That's good news.
If anybody is doing any kind of hand-wringing this morning over the result of the game, like, oh, they only beat Charlotte by 9 at home, like, you're missing the point entirely.
Yes,
like, the Shockers needed to have a W in the win column. Didn't matter how it got there. Didn't matter if they won by 1 or won by 41. Ultimately didn't matter. Like, they needed to get back on track. They needed to get out of the funk that they've been in for, you know, however long, ever since conference play started, and even before conference play. Ronnie DeGray, he was a difference maker. And he was, and I was questioning whether or not he would be, or how much of one he would be. All the times leading up to this game against Charlotte, and you know, we were talking about his potential return. You were saying things like he can be the spark plug defensively that can then rub off on all the other players on the court. I wasn't quite sure to go that I would go that far. I wasn't quite sure we would see that quite to that level. I thought, well, yeah, he can defend, but I'm not sure that it's going to magically just make everybody else a better defender. And it did. And especially in the second half, it did. Now, again, Charlotte, they are not world beaters. They don't shoot the ball very well in general. But having Ronnie DeGray back in that spot to be able to then sort of be that linchpin defensively for the Shockers and have them lock down, close out better, do all the different things that they haven't done recently on the defensive end of the court, that's a really, really good sign for Shocker basketball moving forward.
It is. You saw him miss. He got onto the floor, missed a rebound, was very visibly frustrated by that. Good, like you should be, and that's what we've needed, like that sort of energy. You don't come into a game, play 17 minutes back from an injury, get two blocks and a steal without effort, right? Like high impact minutes there, and that's what he's always been for the program. And that's, if you go all the way back to the injury, Paul Mills talked about it, like they're really going to miss him because he is their glue guy, especially defensively, I believe. And I'm paraphrasing here. Like, he covers up a lot of other people's mistakes when he's out there. And that's, like, that's an important and critical role for Wichita State. Like, you've got to have, whether, I don't even know how many minutes it is that he's going to put, but when he's out there, he brings the energy. They need that. They need somebody to be the standard bearer of the sort of effort and energy that needs to be out there all the time. And you and I both know that stuff in sports is highly contagious, right? Like, it's way contagious. When you've got somebody that's in it that aggressively and emotionally, like, you catch on to that.
Think of a guy like Dexter Dennis, for example.
Dexter Dennis,
like, he was that guy, right?
Yeah, defensively, he was. Go back, KU fans, go back to what KJ Adams was the national championship year. Like, he basically played that role, right? He'd come on, give you high energy minutes, defensively, athletically, all of those things, and it would impact games. That's hopefully what Wichita State can get back. And here's the reality of it, as frustrated as we all are, and we all are, that stretch of games, Temple, South Florida, UTSA, two of those being on the road, if that comes in the middle of the season, Tommy, it's not nearly as unnerving, I think, as it is for Shocker fans to come at the beginning of the conference season because of what happened last year. And we know that they got off to the 0-6 start and it snowballed and it really, like, derailed the. So that's the fear there. So bouncing back, getting that done is a really positive, I think, thing for the program. Now you get another home game against East Carolina this weekend. You have to follow it up. Now you've got a couple of wins. Yeah, you got to go to Memphis, and you've got Memphis and North Texas in two of the next three. But then after that, you still have all these games you can win and begin to pile up if you play. I will, and it will make it even more frustrating because the Shockers are a better team than a lot of their peers in this league. And they must
they're more
finish
talented
better
team.
Than that. They're right.
They're a more talented
and
team.
And their best version is better than a lot of the teams can put out on the floor at any given time. So anything that steers them back in that direction is a really positive development. There, I don't see, and I know we compare them a lot, and it's just the way it is. I don't see a path for K-State to get anywhere close to what we hoped for them at the beginning of the season. Not going to happen. Wichita State can absolutely still get to the place that we thought they might get to this season. They totally can. They can play better. They can play up to their ability and finish near the, you know, top 3-4 of the American. It's on the table. Is it going to be harder because they lost a couple of games they shouldn't have? Sure it is. You know what you have to do in that sense? Go win a couple of games that you shouldn't have. Go beat North Texas or Memphis one of the two times that you play them. Beat Florida Atlantic, who's the other team sort of in that mix metrically. Like, go win some of it. And they totally can. Of course they can. Right? Like, if we know that they can do that. So that's a real, I was very pleased last night just to see the things that have been plaguing them be corrected.
Yeah.
And, right. And like that's the big thing.
You know, you end up being able to, regardless of how it came about, to put a W next to this game. You've got East Carolina at home this weekend. Now, had they lost last night and, you know, started 0-4 in conference play, and then all of a sudden you're kind of back in that snowball world because you've got East Carolina. Then you've got Memphis and you've got North Texas. Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, like, you're looking at a carbon copy almost of what happened at the beginning of conference play a season ago. I read an article. I mean, obviously, we all know Taylor Eldridge does a phenomenal job covering the Shockers, and he talked about the importance of having Ronnie DeGray back in the lineup for late game situations and late game defensive stops. I think back to the DePaul game when they just gave up a bunch of three-pointers late in that game and DePaul pulled away and ended up beating them. That had been an issue all season long. But having Ronnie DeGray, Quincy Ballard, Corey Washington, if he's healthy, those guys haven't shared the court a whole lot, but they're the best defenders on the team. And if they can be in the game late, they can certainly help Wichita State to victory.
It does make it, you know, the tough start makes it harder to get fans back on board, but that's the job now. And that game at Memphis, you don't want to look ahead past East Carolina, becomes a big part of that, I think. We'll come back. We're going to switch, talk a little football when we return. Don't go away, Sports Daily. Rolling right along.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here at KFH on all of our Odyssey family of studios. You need it this time. It's cold outside, although we're going to get a little warmer today. I got to tell you, Tommy, like, I ice like this, like, I can't. So our driveway doesn't get sun. Like, the only time we get sun is very, very early in the morning. Of course, it's not warm enough for that to do anything. I cannot get through the ice in our driveway. It's like, I don't know if you're watching in the videos, it's like this thick. It's like, what was that, an inch and a half? Like, it's wild.
Like, you can't get through it? Like, your car won't get through it, or you can't walk on it?
No, like, I can't get it shoveled.
Oh, you can't get it shoveled.
So here's my plan today. I'm going to go out, and please, if this is a horrible idea, because I am not handy in any way, like, I'm good at, you know, yard things, and that's my skill level. But so if this is a terrible idea, somebody stop me. But like, I'm going to go out with a hammer today and I'm just going to start hammering that ice to try and break it up and get it. I don't know what else to do. Like I've salted it. I've done everything I can do. I feel terrible. My wife, like everybody's wives, at least I assume, order a lot of things online. And I've tried to like clear a path up to the thing for the poor delivery guys. And it's brutal, man. Like I'm that's my plan. I'm going to go out with a hammer today and try and just like break all this ice because it won't melt and I can't get it shoveled off.
That's better than what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say that you were going to find a flamethrower and take it out and just light the whole thing on fire.
I wish I had one of those. Yeah. Like if I lived like I used to back in the country, I'd take a lighter and some hairspray.
Right.
Seth, see, this is why I love our viewers. Seth says hammering could cause spalling. Be careful. I have no idea what spalling is. This is my fear, right? That I'm going to get so frustrated that I'm going to go do damage somehow.
Here's what I appreciate about Seth, though.
To Google what spalling is now.
Do you realize how quickly he typed that in? Like, that was a panic type because he
literally, I know it. Now I'm
10
nervous.
Seconds ago, heard you say that you were going to get a hammer, and he's like frantically typing out a message to you, like, do not do that.
Like, so I do idiot, don't that. Do that.
Yeah, like, that's a terrible idea.
Google tells me that spalling describes areas of concrete which have cracked and just basically cracked and crumbled. So we're not going to do that with a hammer. Thank you, Seth. He says a flamethrower could cause spalling too. Well, I guess we're going to have to rely on the sun then because I don't get any of that. Maybe we'll rely on the warmer temperatures to the point today. We'll get those today and tomorrow. Man, like this ice sucks. Like, we've had to replace air, like a top of the roof unit fan blades that have frozen up. This has been a really expensive storm for everybody that just thinks I hate the cold, which I do hate the cold. Like these cold stretches cost me a lot of money. I hate them so much. That can be enough snow. Let's get some rain in here or wet snow that just melts the next day. Man, this storm has been a pain in the butt. Thank you to all of the people that get out there and work in it to help us try to live our lives a little more like normal. Our great plow people, all our first responders, we appreciate it. It is still slick out there. Our neighborhood roads, it's like an ice rink. Like if I had ice skates, I could legitimately go ice skating on the roads in the neighborhood. That ice is so thick still and is not even close to melting. And then, of course, we're going to drop into the deep freeze again over the weekend. Like some pretty dangerous cold, actually, so be careful with that. Like below zero type temperatures. So is it spring yet? I need a beach. And I don't even like the beach, Tommy, but I need a beach. I'm not a beach guy, but I could be a beach guy right now. Like I could be a beach guy for 3 months out of the year.
If I could be on the beach
to deal with this
all the time, I would do that. So I'm right there with you. I'm surprised though that you are wanting to go. I know you don't like the beach. I know you don't like laying on the beach. You don't like hanging out tropical locations. Like that's not really your thing.
Yeah, no, I like the mountains better. Like a good, like nice, brisk or warm even mountain day. I'll take that. But I'll go lay on a beach right now for as long as it needs to be done to get rid of this particular bout of weather that we're dealing with. All right. So I hate to keep doing this, but man, is it like soap opera good. I guess Jerry Jones wanted Jason Witten to be the coach of the Cowboys. Mike Tomlin has come out and not necessarily connected to the Cowboys job, but in general, and said, don't waste your breath as far as trading for him. I think people would be surprised that aren't super connected to Pittsburgh Steeler Nation and how many of them would like to see Tomlin go. And of course, every other team across the NFL is like, we'll take that problem, please. But he's not going to do it. We don't know about Prime. There's a report that Jerry Jones wanted Jason Witten. I don't know, man. It's really strange. Witten is not going to and here's what this is going to ruin. Is Witten is one of the more beloved Cowboys ever. But man, fans are going to be pissed off if he's the coach. Like he's a high school coach and he hasn't coached at all. I don't think yet at any level in the NFL. Not that he couldn't do it, not that he wouldn't be good at it. But that just feels like so silly. Like Prime is coached now. Like we know he can handle all of that. And so everybody's kind of excited about Prime. Don't ruin Jason Witten for us, Jerry Jones. Like we don't want to not like Jason Witten for any reason. Like you already ruined Jason Garrett. the most beloved backup quarterback of all time. You already ruined him. Can you not ruin Jason Witten too?
And Jason Witten has already been a little tarnished. I mean, remember the disaster when he was on Monday Night Football? Like, he was so bad was, as the Monday Night. Like, the one year that he did MNF, and now, obviously, it doesn't do that anymore. Like, broadcasting was not a good fit for him. That didn't work out well. And that's, unfortunately, part of, like, yeah, he was a phenomenal tight end. I remember him more for that dumpster fire on Monday Night Football. But if he goes as the Cowboys coach, like, that's another reason. Because everybody knows it's not going to work. It's not going to go well.
It's probably not going to work for anybody that gets in there. So don't ruin that guy. Like, Prime is bulletproof, I think, to some degree, in his lore. But you can't mess with Jason Witten's lore. He's one of the greatest tight ends of all time. He's all fake. Like, you're going to ruin him. Don't do it. Speaking of Jerry Jones, are you watching Landman, Tommy?
I am. I've not gotten to the episode yet where he's on it.
I had seen that he was on there, but it's hard because I'm not all the way through. I think we have one more episode. And it's hard these days to not have spoilers. So I try very hard at that. But I had seen, obviously, that Jerry Jones was on there. And I thought it was going to be like some cheeky, like silly appearance, but it's like a monologue and it's really good. And it's so strong. Like, I'm watching it with my wife and I think she knew who Jerry Jones was before. I'm not 100% sure, but I think she did, but we're watching it and I'm just like, I'm sitting there probably pretty visibly like impressed by the performance of like, what in the world? That, like, this is really good, like really legitimately good. And I'm getting really excited about that. And I'm telling you, my wife could not have rolled her eyes harder at me for that. Like, it's physically impossible to roll your eyes harder than she did at my excitement for that scene. But I need you to watch it with all like Jerry Jones thoughts to the side and just watch it for what it is and tell me you're not impressed by it when you get to that episode, because it's legitimately good.
Maybe he'll be in demand to become an actor.
I know.
And then maybe he'll decide at 82 years old, hey, look, I'm going to go to Hollywood and somebody else can run the team. And then maybe they'll have a better chance to win a Super Bowl.
So remember my wacky conspiracy theory, like through the months and months ago, and I wish I could find it. Like, a lot of this stuff is happening, Tommy. Like, they get rid of McCarthy, right? They trade away Dak. They draft Shadur. They make Prime the coach. And a part of that conspiracy theory was that he and Vince McMahon ride off into the sunset with this old man reality show. And somebody else steps in as general manager. Like, I'm not, you know, I, some of this stuff, like, we're getting closer. We're getting closer to that reality. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe, you know, maybe somebody comes calling and says, we just got to have more of that, Jerry. Like, 'cause it really was good. I can't wait for you to see it. Are you like a film snob guy? 'Cause I'm not. I'm the most opposite of that you can be. You're probably somewhere in the middle. Like, I usually get annoyed with the Oscar nominations because I'm like, nobody's heard of these. There's no way these are the best movies that were made. Nobody watches them. Are you film guy? Like,
no.
Do you say film or movie?
No, I'm a movie guy. If it tells you anything I feel about movies, I'm really excited for the Mark Wahlberg plane movie when he's the bad guy.
Hell yeah.
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah,
I'm not.
We're on
like,
the same page there.
I don't watch the Academy Awards. Like, I might know who won, but like more often than not, I haven't watched any of the nominees, maybe one of them if I'm lucky. And it doesn't mean I don't like those. Like, I know there was one a few years ago, that Parasite movie that like took the world by storm that was like in Korean or whatever. And it was actually really, really good. And I'm like, okay, I totally understand why that won the Oscar. But more often than not, I'm usually not in that camp.
It's for me, it's probably been about since the Lord of the Rings movies were big Oscar movies that I was
like, give me Mark Wahlberg, give me The Rock, you know,
entertain me.
If there's a Liam Neeson movie, like I'm on board.
I'll never forgive one of my coworkers for making me go. We finally had like a movie date night, and this was before movies had sort of made their comeback. And I'm like, man, and he's a film guy, right? Like, you got movie guys and you got film guys. We're both movie guys, and I appreciate that. But he's like, oh, you got to go see, I don't even remember what it's called, something about licorice something.
Yeah.
And he's like, you got to go see it. And so we go watch it, and it was one of the biggest wastes of time of my life. I was like, what is happening? This is not good. This is like objectively not entertaining in any way whatsoever. And I was so mad at him for that. And that's the way I feel about most of those movies. Not all. I see that, you know, I like a thinker. Like, yeah. I like good movies, but I don't like bad movies that somebody tries to tell me are good when they're not.
Who would play
that's
Jerry?
That's what I don't like.
Who would play Jerry Jones in a movie about himself?
Like, if Jerry Jones.
But I know, but like, know not Jerry now. Jones. Like, would it be somebody else? Like, who could it be?
Well, you can't. Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton. Well, that was the first name that came to mind. Like, he'd be a great Jerry Jones.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would. I'm far more into TV shows now than I am to movies.
Yeah.
They're easier. Like, I can get to them. I love movies, but like, I'm ready for the next Star Wars movie or, well, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I took a film class in college and I was like a pariah in that room. We went around the room and I had to take, it was an elective. Like, I wasn't trying to be a movie producer, and we go around the room. And you know, like, no offense to film people, but like, there's some stereotypes here. Okay. So picture a room full of film people. And I was probably the only like movie guy in there. And they go around the room and they're like, oh, what's everybody's favorite movie? And everybody's going through it. And there's a bunch of movies I'd never heard of. And like, some I had. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. It's all right. And they get to me. And I'm like, it's Dumb and Dumber. And I mean, you would have thought that I punched somebody's grandma. The looks I got, like, you, that can't be your favorite movie. Like, that can't be your favorite movie. Like, it can't be. And I'm like, well, it is, because it's the best movie I've ever seen.
And that was that was the last day you were in that class, right?
No, I stayed. I stuck it through and listened to why I should like certain movies and why I shouldn't like certain movies. And I'm like, this feels like a subjective topic. Like,
isn't Dumb and Dumber, Dumb and Dumber is a modern day Citizen Kane.
It's a cinematic masterpiece. Yeah. Tell me what I should like and not like. I don't like to be told things to do. Anyway, Jerry Jones is fantastic in Landman. I can't wait to hear your opinion on that. Glad you're a movie guy. Makes me feel better this morning. We're coming back, hour number two, Sports Daily. Don't go away.